Hello, and welcome to the Gumbo Ed Nurse Practitioner CE Podcast. I am your host, Samantha Junius Arsimov, and this is episode 26. To earn your contact hours, go to the American Journal for Nurse Practitioners or the website for the Association for Nurse Practitioners, find the article, take the test, and earn your CEUs. Today's article is titled, Approach for the Diagnosis and Treatment of Chronic Pruritus by Rachel Shireen Gulpanian, BA, Juan M. Gonzalez, DNP, FNP Board Certified, and Gil Yosipovich, MD. Now let's get started. The article starts with, pruritus is a common and distressing symptom that can be acute or chronic in nature. Acute pruritus lasts less than 6 weeks, whereas chronic pruritus is defined as itch persisting for 6 weeks or more. This condition increases with age and is more common in women than men. Patients who suffer from itch often experience disturbances in overall quality of life, sleep, and in social, physical, and psychological functioning. In fact, chronic itch has been found to be equally as debilitating as chronic pain. Categorizing underlying etiologies of itch. The approach to managing a patient suffering from chronic pruritus depends on the underlying etiology of their condition, which falls into 6 separate categories. Eventual management and treatment of a patient with pruritus depends heavily on the underlying cause of itch, thus underscoring the importance of tailored treatment for this condition. The 6 categories of itch include
1.
Dermatologic
2.
Systemic
3.
Neurologic
4.
Psychogenic
5.
Mixed
6.
And undetermined origin. Next, evaluating a patient with itch. The first steps to evaluating a patient with pruritus should involve a thorough history and physical examination of the skin. A comprehensive history consisting of past medical, family, and drug history, as well as a thorough review of symptoms, can help provide further direction to underlying diagnosis. For example, constitutional symptoms may be indicative of underlying malignancy contributing to itch. Patients with a history of hypertension should be questioned for the use of calcium channel blockers or angiotensin-converting enzyme inhibitors, drugs that are commonly known to cause itching without rash. Other drugs which are commonly known to cause drug-induced pruritus without a rash include mu opioids. Questions regarding the location of itch are particularly important. For example, neuropathic pruritus is likely to manifest as localized pruritus, often along a dermatome, whereas drug-induced pruritus is more likely to present as generalized itching. Pruritus of cholestasis often initially appears on the palms and soles. Table 2 is a list of examples of questions to ask patients with chronic itch. The first question is your itch related to a primary rash? If yes, where is the rash located? This will help differentiate between dermatologic versus other forms of pruritus. It is also to help distinguish specific forms of itch that are traditionally located in certain body sites. Another question is, where did your itch start? This will help differentiate between different etiologies of itch. For example, brachioradiopruritus, which is a form of neuropathic itch related to cervical nerve impingement, often appears on the neck and extensor surface of the arms. Notalgia parasthenica, which is a neuropathic itch related to thoracic nerve impingement, often appears as unilateral itch in the upper to middle back. If your itch is not related to a primary rash, what medications are you currently taking? This is to determine whether pruritus may be drug-induced. Have you experienced any recent weight loss, night sweats, or fevers? This is to determine whether pruritus may be induced by malignancy. Do you itch all the time or intermittently? Different diseases may differ temporarily. For example, multiple sclerosis is often described as bouts of shooting pruritus. Does your itch occur after water exposure? Some diseases are characterized by pruritus that is aquagenic in nature. For example, polycythemia vera. Now let's try our first question. Question number one. A 42-year-old female presents with a 3-month history of fatigue and pruritus localized to the palms and soles. Physical exam is negative for presence of lesions. What is the most likely underlying etiology of pruritus? A. Atopic dermatitis. B. Primary biliary cholangitis. C. Bullous pemphigoid. Or D. Drug-induced. The correct answer is B. Primary biliary cholangitis. Now back to the article. When physically examining the skin, primary skin lesions should be distinguished from lesions secondary to chronic scratching. Dermatologic signs of chronic scratching include excoriations, for example, scratch marks, lichenification, for example, areas of thickened skin resulting from repeated rubbing, prurigo nodularis, which is nodular lesions, or a combination of these. Furthermore, patients with chronic itch can often present with what is known as butterfly sign, an area of hypopigmentation frequently seen on the spared, unreached areas of the back. This can help direct the differential diagnosis to dermatologic, category 1, versus non-dermatologic, categories 2 to 6 causes. Finally, laboratory tests and imaging are suggested for further elicit underlying etiologies of pruritus. For example, a chest x-ray may help to elicit a mass indicative of lymphoma, whereas an MRI of the spine may help to elicit nerve compression resulting in neuropathic causes of itch. On to managing a patient with itch. Management of pruritus depends on the underlying etiology elicited by history, physical examination, and supplemental laboratory and imaging testing. If possible, treatment of itch should be focused on treatment of the underlying etiology. Lymphoma-induced itch, for example, can be treated with resolution of the malignancy. However, if a definitive diagnosis is not reached, symptomatic treatment is required. The symptom of pruritus can be managed with topical or systemic therapies or both. The severity of pruritus, as well as personal patient preference, should be established to determine which options are most appropriate for each individual patient. Topical therapy, emollients, and cleansers. Topical emollients or moisturizers are substances that improve the skin barrier through the reduction of transepidermal water loss and prevention of penetration of exogenous materials. Moisturizing creams are the mainstay of treatment for mild itch that is localized, which can be a manifestation of xerosis or dry skin. Topical moisturizers are also important components in the treatment of atopic dermatitis and should be used daily for maintenance therapy. Commercially available moisturizers may be prepared as different formulations, for example, creams, ointments, and lotions. And the most appropriate option for any single patient depends on the individual preference, cost, and body area. Patients should be cautioned to avoid the use of products containing lanolin and fragrances because patients with atopy are often sensitive to these substances. Low-potency topical corticosteroids can also be added to emollient formulations in patients with severe eczema for the purpose of using wet wrap pajama therapy. This method involves covering the affected body areas with a corticosteroid emollient cream, wearing wet pajamas atop the body, wearing dry pajamas over top the wet pajamas, and sleeping in this combination overnight. This treatment should be used for 1 week at a time due to associated risk of topical steroid absorption and folliculitis. Finally, advanced practice clinicians should recommend emollients and cleansers with a low pH, 4.5 to 6, to patients with pruritus. This is because substances with a high pH activate serine proteases in the skin, which propagate the sensation of pruritus. Thus, bar soaps and cleansers that have a very high pH should be eliminated from the skin regimen of patients who are itchy. Topical corticosteroids and other topical immunomodulators. Topical corticosteroids are anti-inflammatory agents that may help to reduce itch that is specifically related to inflammatory skin diseases such as atopic dermatitis and psoriasis to control flares in the disease. When topical steroids are applied, the tip of the index finger should be used to estimate the proper amount. The back and front of the trunk each require 6 to 7 fingertip units, whereas the hand requires just 1 fingertip unit. Contact dermatitis secondary to topical steroid use may occur, and thus the clinician should advise patients to apply a small amount of the topical steroid to a localized area of the body for several days before widespread use. Topical steroids associated with significant adverse effects, including atrophy of the skin, telangiectasia, and hypothalamus pituitary axis suppression. Topical steroids should not be used on a large body surface due to systemic absorption, and use of long periods of time should be avoided. Furthermore, due to risk of skin atrophy, topical steroids should not be used in areas with thinner skin, such as the face and skin folds. Clinicians should be wary of the potential for topical steroids to cause withdrawal symptoms upon cessation of treatment, which often results in steroid phobia on behalf of the patient. Topical calcineurin inhibitors such as tacrolimus and pimecrolimus have also been found to reduce itch in inflammatory skin conditions such as atopic dermatitis, seborrheic dermatitis, and psoriasis. Because these medications are not associated with significant adverse effects related to topical steroids, for example, skin atrophy, these agents are useful to treat inflammatory itch in the face and neck regions as well. Adverse effects include transient application site burning. Patients and clinicians may be wary of the black box warning associated with these substances due to theoretical use of increased malignancy secondary to their use. Importantly, long-term safety studies demonstrate that the number of malignancies in patients exposed to topical calcineurin inhibitors is actually lower than that of the general population.
Time for more questions.
Question number 2. Chronic pruritus associated with a recent history of night sweats, low-grade fevers, and recent weight loss should raise suspicion for onset of A. tuberculosis, B. brachioradioparitis, C. lymphoma, or D. multiple sclerosis. The correct answer is C. lymphoma. Back to topical therapies. Topical anesthetics can be useful to treat localized itch of various types. Pramoxine has been shown to exert antipruritic effects in a variety of diseases, including psoriasis, uremic pruritus, and atopic dermatitis. Topical preparations of ketamine, amitriptyline, and lidocaine in a liposomal base have also been shown to reduce itch in various pruritic conditions and may be used as an effective single or adjuvant therapy. Finally, capsaicin is an alkaloid compound that has been shown to reduce itch in various diseases, such as neuropathic itch, for example, brachioradioparitis. Adverse effects include application site burning and erythema, which may result in patient noncompliance. Coolants. Cooling agents such as menthol, camphor, and phenol have been successful in treating various types of itch through modulating the thermosensitive channels in the skin. Concentrations of menthol that tend to reduce the sensation of pruritus are 1 to 3%, whereas higher concentrations may cause skin irritation. Advanced practice clinicians should be cognizant of the fact that some forms of itch are not alleviated by cooling agents. Thus, these agents should be recommended on an individual basis to patients who report a reduction of pruritus with cold sensation. Next, phosphodiesterase inhibitors. Crisaborole is a non-steroidal phosphodiesterase 4 inhibitor that is thought to reduce itch through the reduction of pro-inflammatory cytokines. This drug has been approved for use in the treatment of mild to moderate atopic dermatitis and can be particularly helpful in the treatment of hand dermatitis. A post hoc analysis of two phase 2 studies found Crisaborole ointments provide early relief of itch in significantly more patients with atopic dermatitis than the vehicle control. This drug was also recently shown to be well tolerated and effective in infants. In addition to treating atopic itch, Crisaborole 2% ointment has newly been shown to demonstrate superior efficacy to vehicle ointment for the treatment of intertiginous, angiogenital, and facial psoriasis. Crisaborole is generally well tolerated but is commonly associated with application site pain, for example, burning or stinging. Cannabinoids. The antipruritic effect of cannabinoids is thought to involve the action of multiple receptors, including cannabinoid receptor 1 and cannabinoid receptor 2, and transient receptor potential channels. N-permethyl ethanolamine is a cannabinoid 2 receptor agonist that has been shown to reduce pruritus in patients with multiple pruritic conditions, including atopic dermatitis, lichen planus chorionicus, prurigo nodularis, and uremic itch. These creams are generally well tolerated with minimal adverse effects, including erythema or application site burning. Now, more questions. Question number 3. A 28-year-old female with a history of childhood asthma presents with a 6-week onset of severe pruritus localized to the popliteal fossa and ankles. Physical exam reveals dry, scaly, ill-defined plaques and mild lichenification. What is most likely the diagnosis? A. Atopic dermatitis. B. Psoriasis. C. Lichen planus. Or D. Xerosis. The correct answer is A, atopic dermatitis. Question number 4. A 62-year-old male with complaints of a 1-year history of severe pruritus, most prominent on the neck and extensor surface of the arms. Physical exam reveals excoriations in these body locations. Upon further questioning, the patient states he was in a car accident 3 years ago, which led to residual neck pain that still persists. What is the best next step? A. Observation and close monitoring. B. Perform a skin biopsy. C. Order a cervical MRI. Or D. Order complete blood counts. The correct answer is C. Order a cervical MRI. Question number 5. A 54-year-old male with a long-standing history of hypertension presents with generalized pruritus for the past 5 months. It is not associated with a rash. He denies a history of constitutional symptoms, back pain, or psychiatric disease. What is the best next step? A. Ask the patient to describe his bathing habits. B. Order a TSH level. C. Ask the patient for medications he takes to treat his hypertension. Or D. Prescribe triamcinolone ointment. The correct answer is C. Ask the patient what medications he takes to treat his hypertension. Now back to the article. Systemic therapy. Antihistamines. Developments in our understanding of itch pathophysiology has led to the understanding that histamines play a limited role in the treatment of most chronic itch conditions. One condition in which oral antihistamines are relevant is urticaria. Other than the indication of urticaria, we recommend the use of sedating antihistamines such as hydroxyzine, doxepin, and diphenhydramine for the treatment of nocturnal pruritus not otherwise controlled by other medications. Anticonvulsants. Gabapentin and pregabalin are agonist of gamma aminobutyric acid that effectively reduce itch, likely through their role in neuromodulation. Although initially developed for the treatment of chronic pain syndromes, such as diabetic neuropathy, these drugs have been reported to help treat various forms of itch, including neuropathic itch, uremic itch, and prurigo nodularis. We recommend the use of these medications when treating neuropathic pruritus or itch of unknown origin. Non-responders of gabapentin should be tried on pregabalin and vice versa, because patients may respond to one drug and not the other. The most common adverse effects of these drugs include drowsiness, weight gain, and increased appetite, lower extremity swelling, and gastrointestinal symptoms. Opioid modulators. Because an imbalance of the opioidergic system has been implicated in the sensation of itch, mu opioid receptor antagonists and kappa opioid receptor agonists have shown to be beneficial in the treatment of itch. Butorphanol is a kappa opioid receptor agonist and mu opioid receptor antagonist currently approved by the United States Food and Drug Administration for the use in pain management. This drug was reported to provide itch relief in various forms of intractable itch, including prurigo nodularis and primary biliary cirrhosis. This drug is administered intranasally and has a rapid onset of action. Abuse potential is extremely low. Adverse effects include drowsiness, constipation, and nausea. Mu opioid receptor antagonists, such as naltrexone and naloxone, have been shown to reduce itch secondary to cholestasis, atopic dermatitis, and uremic pruritus. Unfortunately, the use of these drugs is limited by cost and adverse effects, such as hepatotoxicity, insomnia, and fatigue. Antidepressants. Drugs that modulate the serotonergic system have been used in the treatment of various types of itch, as serotonin has been implicated in itch transmission. Mirtazapine is an atypical serotonin norepinephrine reuptake inhibitor that can help treat itch in low doses, likely through its role in reducing neural sensation. It has been reported to reduce itch secondary to inflammatory skin diseases, as well as paraneoplastic pruritus. Because one major side effect of this drug is sedation, it can particularly be helpful in treating nocturnal pruritus. Other side effects include weight gain. Serotonin reuptake inhibitors have also been shown to reduce pruritus in various underlying etiologies. In an open-labeled study comparing fluvoxamine and paroxetine for treatment of chronic pruritus, including inflammatory skin diseases and pruritus secondary to malignancy, both of these drugs significantly reduced pruritus in 68% of patients. Another serotonin reuptake inhibitor, sertraline, or Zoloft, has been shown to be successful in reducing itch of cholestatic pruritus.
Time for more questions.
Question number 6. A 44-year-old female with a past medical history of thoracic back pain presents with severe 10 out of 10 generalized itching. She is diagnosed with neuropathic pruritus based upon clinical history and positive MRI findings. What is the best treatment regimen? A. Topical corticosteroid. B. Gabapentin. C. Antihistamine. Or D. Topical calcineurin inhibitor. The correct answer is B. Gabapentin. Number 7. A 22-year-old patient with mild atopic dermatitis is started on crisaborole ointment. Which of the following side effects should the patient be cautioned about? A. Application site burning. B. Sedation. C. Development of urticaria. Or D. Temporary itch exacerbation. The correct answer is A. Application site burning. Now back to the article. Neurokinin receptor 1 inhibitors. Substance P is a neuropeptide that initiates itch once bound to the neurokinin receptor 1 through various mechanisms. The neurokinin receptor 1 antagonist, a aprepitant, a drug initially developed as an anti-emetic, has been shown to reduce itch associated with various conditions. This includes itch related to cutaneous T-cell lymphoma, brachioradial pruritus, and intractable pruritus of various etiologies. Importantly, in a phase 2 clinical trial of patients with prurigo nodularis, patients who received aprepitant did not demonstrate significant decreases in itch intensity compared with placebo. Thus, the antipruritic efficacy of this drug may be limited. Other factors limiting the use of this drug include a high incidence of drug-drug interactions and very high cost. Immunosuppressants. Oral immunosuppressants have traditionally been used in the treatment of severe inflammatory itch. These include oral corticosteroids, cyclosporin A, methotrexate, azathioprine, and mycophenolate mofetil. Unfortunately, the use of these medications is limited to unwanted adverse effects. Thus, their use should be limited to severe inflammatory itch that is otherwise recalcitrant to topical or other first-line therapy for the specific skin condition of concern. For example, when treating a patient with severe atopic dermatitis, the advanced practice clinician should first consider use of a targeted immunomodulator approved for the disease, for example, dupilumab, before resorting to the use of any of the aforementioned systemic immunomodulators. Now on to holistic approaches. Itch can be exacerbated by stress, and thus holistic techniques that focus on mindfulness and stress reduction can be helpful for the patient. Mindfulness-based stress reduction is an approach helpful in reducing itch and aims to implement mindfulness without judging one's own thoughts or emotions through meditation, yoga, and psychoeducation. Other holistic approaches that have been shown to be helpful in the reduction of pruritus include cognitive behavioral therapy and acupuncture. The patient should be educated on these alternative approaches to treating itch and should also be encouraged to explore smartphone applications that promote mindfulness. Question number 8. The use of oral immunosuppressants should be limited to severe inflammatory itch, otherwise recalcitrant to topical or other non-immunomodulatory first-line therapy. A. True. B. False. The correct answer is A. True. Question number 9. A patient with chronic pruritus should be advised to bathe with A. Bar soaps with a high pH. B. Bar soaps with a low pH. C. Liquid soap with a high pH. Or D. Liquid soap with a low pH. The correct answer is D. Liquid soap with a low pH. Emerging treatments on the horizon. Advances in our understanding of itch pathophysiology has allowed for the development of novel drugs currently in development for the treatment of pruritus. The monoclonal antibody nemolizumab targets the interleukin 31 receptor A to reduce pruritus that occurs secondary to release of interleukin 31, a cytokine that has been implicated in many pruritic conditions. In a phase 2 randomized controlled trial for patients with atopic dermatitis, nemolizumab was able to significantly reduce itch as early as week 2 of treatment. Phase 3 trials are currently in progress for patients with atopic dermatitis. In patients with prurigo nodularis, a phase 2 trial demonstrated greater reduction in pruritus and severity of disease in patients taking nemolizumab versus placebo, and phase 3 studies are planned to take place in the future. New opioid modulators for the treatment of itch are also in development. Difelikefalin is a kappa opioid receptor agonist that has already been known to significantly reduce uremic itch in a phase 3 trial. And phase 2 trials for this drug to treat atopic dermatitis as well as cholestatic itch are currently in progress. Nalbuphine is an emerging kappa opioid receptor agonist and mu opioid receptor antagonist that significantly reduced the mean itch intensity ratings in patients with uremic pruritus and also showed significant reductions in the itch intensity in an unpublished study of patients with prurigo nodularis. Now on to the last question, question number 10. Patients initiated on topical corticosteroids should be advised to avoid use on the A, forearms, B, face, C, shins, or D, abdomen. The correct answer is B, face. Now on to the conclusion. The treatment of itch should involve a systematic approach to identify underlying etiology. When a definite diagnosis can be identified, the advanced practice clinician should focus on treatment of this condition. If this is not possible, symptomatic treatment of pruritus should be initiated. Fortunately, developments in our understanding of the pathophysiology of itch have led to the use of several options when managing a patient suffering from this condition. These range from topical to systemic treatments that have changed the lives of many. When deciding which therapy to use, severity of disease, individual patient preference, cost, and adverse effect profile are all important considerations to be mindful of. Okay, that's it. That ends another Gumbo Education Nurse Practitioner CEU podcast.
Remember, to earn your CEUs for this podcast, go to the American Association for Nurse Practitioners website or the Journal for Nurse Practitioners, find the article, take the test, and earn your CEUs.
Until next time. Mom.